At this time, through the courtesy of the Sun Oil Company, we take pleasure in introducing to you our guest of honor, one of the most distinguished news commentators of our time, Mr. Lowell Thomas. Lowell, we want to ask you a question about the news. At this time of year, editors far and wide indulge in the harmless pastime of picking the so-called 10 biggest news stories of the year that has just gone by. As a Sunoco News voice of the air, your nightly broadcasts compel you to keep your finger on the news pulse of the world. Instead of asking you what were the 10 biggest news stories last year, tell us which you think was the one that should go at the top of the list.
Just offhand, Basil, I should say it would have to be selected from the following: the Italian invasion of Ethiopia and all the international complications that went with it. Japan's latest move in what apparently is a well-thought-out plan to build a vast Japanese empire on the continent of Asia. The slicing off of those huge chunks of China recently. Uncle Sam blazing that sky trail across the greatest of oceans with those China clippers. What a story that was and still is. Those dust storms in the Middle West threatening to bury an immense part of our country and even bury cities, just as cities long ago were buried by sand and dust storms in the Sahara, Arabia, and the Gobi. Jim Barrett, head of Press Radio, once an editor of the old New York World, reminded me the other evening that Arthur Brisbane selected the new giant 200-inch eye of the telescope as the biggest item of 1935 because it will vastly increase our knowledge of the universe. And Joe Conley, head of the International News, selected the discovery of painless dentistry. But those two selections sound like the viewpoint of an astronomer with a toothache to me. Then there was the Will Rogers Wiley Post crash on the shores of the Arctic Ocean. Two of our best-loved heroes flying into the land of the Aurora Borealis, plunging to their death on the polar rim. What a Roman finish. Incidentally, aviators are still shaking their heads, reminding each other of how carefree Will Rogers was. Nervous, champing at the bit, always ready to fly no matter how bad the weather. Commander Frank Hawks was his pilot on one long tour of America, and when they would wake up in the morning, if it was foggy, ceiling zero, Will would say, "Come on, Frank, let's go. You've taken me through thicker weather than this." I wonder if something like that played a part. We mustn't forget the passing of the NRA, that nosedive of the Blue Eagle. What a crash was that. When the Supreme Court fired both barrels at the Blue Eagle, the news reverberation was heard around the world and still echoes. A trip 72,000 feet above the earth in a balloon, that deserves consideration. And Captain Stevens and Anderson, the stratosphere flyers, are here in New York right now. They've been telling me a lot about their experience and their metal gondola, the ball in which they climbed 14 miles into the outer air, is on display now, just outside this building in Rockefeller Plaza Sunken Garden. And Captain Orville Anderson had a little fun with a taxi driver out there yesterday. The driver didn't know who he was. And when they entered the plaza in the car, the man who piloted the balloon to the highest altitude ever reached by human beings pointed to the gondola and said to the driver, "What's that?" And the taxi driver replied, "Oh, that? That's the stratosphere." I suppose many would say the big story of the year was the war between Italy and Ethiopia, and it may get bigger. Webb Miller, who started out as a cub reporter with me in Chicago 20-odd years ago, has just landed back in this country from Ethiopia. He's the correspondent whose name you've been seeing in such large type in the Scripps Howard and other papers carrying the United Press. They're star man, and Webb tells me the Italians are desperate. They're not only planning on conquering all of Ethiopia, but are discussing ways of protecting what they call their root of empire, meaning they want Egypt and the Sudan. This means that almost overnight, a world rivalry, a new one, has come into existence, one that the most of us hadn't anticipated, rivalry between Italy and Britain on a vast scale. The Italians believe that they are going to build an empire destined to take the place of John Bull's far-flung realm. So maybe this Ethiopian affair is just a small story compared with what may grow out of it. But none of these would get my vote, important as they are. It seems to me that the biggest news item of the past year was the Lindbergh story. By that, I mean the Hauptmann trial and then the flight of the Lindbergh family. We've all been hearing a great deal about what happened when the Lindberghs arrived in England, of how they were met by an army of photographers and reporters, virtually held prisoners in a Liverpool hotel. But since their first few days in England, the Lindberghs have not been bothered by the press, and nothing is now being printed about them over there, and surely that's good news. Well, so much for the most important story of the year. Now, here's another that shouldn't be forgotten, the way business has been improving in this country. But many business leaders are of the opinion that even with a return to normal, so far as business volume is concerned, there will still be many, many unemployed. Mr. W.K. Kellogg, my host tonight, sponsor of this hour, saw that this was going to happen, in fact, saw it 5 years ago, so he did an important thing. He tried out the six-hour day idea in that famous plant out in Battle Creek, Michigan. The test was for a six-hour day at a minimum wage of $4, and towards the end of this year, the year just passed, he announced the results of 5 years of practical experience. The result? That the plan has helped increase employment nearly 39%, lowered unit production costs due to increased efficiency, reduced time lost because of illness by 30%, with a 39% reduction in time lost because of accidents. And because this experiment had, he believes, turned out so successfully, he recently again raised the minimum wage to as much for 6 hours' work as formerly was paid for 8 hours. Well, business leaders everywhere in America will be interested in that experiment. So will all working people. If it is the answer to that old question, how are we going to reduce the number of unemployed, then maybe we will have to revise our list of important news stories for the year